Our third speaker is Larry Good. He is the co-founder and chairman of the Corporation for a Skilled Workforce in Michigan. Mr. Good provides leadership for the corporation's work with state governments in transforming their workforce strategies. He's consulted with a number of states, including California, Colorado, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Washington, Wisconsin. For 6 years, he led a major initiative in Michigan to develop and implement a total rethinking of their state workforce policy initiatives as well as their structure. Currently, he's partnering with the National Governors Association and the National Network of Sector Partners in managing a 25-state learning network on sector strategies, and Wisconsin is part of that network. Mr. Good has policy experience, having worked for 6 years as legislative staff in Michigan, and Mr. Good has business experience, having led the growth of his organization from a startup to a $3 million per year enterprise. Larry told me that he has two loves. He loves the people and culture of the Midwest, always having worked in the Midwest. And he and his wife have been married for 37 years. So his topic today is sector strategies, revisioning state workforce policies. Thank you for coming.
And thank you very much, Karen. I'm delighted to be here. I have several friends in the room who've had the pleasure to work with, and the work in Wisconsin is noted. And my role is to take one of the items Harry named as one of the things that actually has been proven to have effectiveness and really drill into what are we talking about exactly there, and what's it mean, and why is it an important idea. If I had been standing in a room like this a decade ago, the term sector strategies would have been a foreign word even to the policy geeks that would have been in the room. It would have represented a few programs, including the Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership that foundations were funding or that local experimentation was going on with, but that's about it. It wasn't in the playbook of governors, of people who were then in roles like Secretary Gaskin's in or the colleges. And we were operating in that time and life and phase in a way where workforce strategy of working with employers was done one firm at a time. It was about how big were the customized training grants, it was how big were the incentives to lure the company to my state versus your state. The connection with training for individuals and their needs wasn't really put together. In the last several years, that's changed incredibly dramatically. So I really want to drill into this for just a few minutes to help you understand what it is. There's great experimentation on this going on in states all over the country, including Wisconsin, and to give you a flavor for what this idea really means. How this works. Cool. This is kind of one of those silent, really big ideas. It doesn't get high flash in the media. You can quickly glaze somebody's eyes when you use the terms. In fact, it's such that it almost needs its own glossary. Some days you'll hear sector, some days you'll hear cluster, some days you'll hear industry partnership, some days you'll hear alliance. There's a lot of different terms used for it. But the core idea that I want to talk about in the next few minutes is this: that state policy can be framed to emphasize and encourage local practice that does a couple of things. One, that it brings companies together in a group that have common interests. They're in a community, they're in the same industry, they have similar needs and questions, and that often there are issues about the development of their workforce, about their employment practices, about their strategy on workforce that transcend any individual company. And there's the ability to have sort of a critical massing you can do by bringing it together. The second side of that is that it's a way to take those six federal agencies, eight state departments, 36 programs that Karen noted at the beginning, and without changing the org chart of the federal government and of the appropriations, align and organize so that people find ways to work together in pretty seamless ways at those tables in partnerships with those companies. So this has been an incredible alignment strategy. It's a win-win kind of a strategy because the demonstrated results that Dr. Holzer noted that I'll talk about in just slightly more in a couple of minutes indicate that there are absolutely positive gains shown for the workers who are trained through sector approaches and the employers who've been engaged, and there's less quantitative data, but there's definitely qualitative data arguing that they find this to be an incredibly important way to go and find that being in these ventures are very important to their future. it is a wholesale strategy. It is about how do you, and in terms of leverage, in terms of, which is an overused word these days, but how do you, with finite resources, make enough impact on whether on helping a mature industry change or helping new industries, as Dan Cameron was just talking about, really grow. And approaching them at an industry level gives you an opportunity to do that. So there is a lot to be done in this. So the core elements, just very quickly. One is that it's a matter of how you organize strategies that are organized not around programs, but around the needs of the employers. And how do you figure out what those needs are? One of the realities in today's fast-moving economy is that if an economic developer or a person from a workforce agency talks to an employer, the likelihood they're going to be really articulate about what their needs are out is pretty uneven. Things are moving fast, they're changing, they're trying to grasp a lot of what's going on. By bringing groups together, where you can bring educators together, you can bring the research together, you can bring the employers together to compare notes, you go deeper, you get information faster, it's possible to get a real sense of what's needed and what's going on. It allows drilling in and really understanding what's needed in that industry. It's not broad brush where you're doing stuff that is the same for every employer you're working with. You can do what you need in that specific case, in that community, with that industry. It's a tool for economic competitiveness that these are typically regional initiatives. Some of them take on statewide aspects, but they're mostly regional. They're mostly in a labor market, or they're in the natural catchment area of the industry that's involved. So you can really look at how is that affecting that region, how is that really connecting to the workforce characteristics in that region, and the changes trying to make in that community. On the worker side, It is possible, and Wisconsin's, some of the experimentation in Wisconsin is going this direction. We're looking at how do you use the focusing you do with specific industry sectors to really help align that with career path options for workers. How does that help in the information they get in high school, that what goes on at tech colleges, choices they make in mid-career changes? And how does it help people find both entry and advancement opportunities? A tremendous amount of the work and sector strategies are about really advancement as it goes on. It's a system change, I guess is the other piece. It's a way that there are a zillion programs. The study you had listed 36, I was part of doing one of those for the state of Michigan 25 years ago. We found 70 programs at that point. There will probably always be, in some way, shape, or form, large numbers of different things that will put money into something that helps the education and advancement of workers in our country. But this is not just another one of those. This is not just something to layer on as yet the next initiative flavor of the month. In many ways, this is a different way of doing business. This is something that you can do for the rest of your life. When we talk to people who've started sector partnerships and look at the pattern with them, and it's far too early to be able to say long-term in state policy in this, because state policy's pretty young in this, but what we're seeing is that the sector partnerships don't just solve the immediate issue that they get formed around, whether it's a critical need that they come together around initially. They keep working together. These tend to go on over a long period of time and tend to become new infrastructure that is very low-cost infrastructure. It usually takes a coordinator, and otherwise people are coming to the table because they see their self-interest in doing it. So it's not a big bureaucracy. It's not a new agency or department. It's about how the tech colleges, the workforce boards, the educators, the economic developers come together, how are they working with a group of companies that really see common needs. I mentioned on the employer side, there is not what I would consider great quantitative information, but I would say that there have been studies at individual sector initiatives. One that was done in Massachusetts as part of an evaluation asked all of the employers who had been engaged in the initiative several questions about the impact on them of being in it. And I think this is, I won't argue this is science, but I will argue this is illustrative of what we hear in many, many cases. 41% of those who were in that initiative responded that by their work within that initiative helped them reduce their turnover. Many of these were started for exactly that reason, to take on how do you take a high churn, how do you behave differently so that you're not constantly having hiring issues. 19% of them said it reduced their rework, and in some cases that's going to be a major issue for the cost and productivity of the company. A quarter of them said it reduced customer complaints, so there was clearly issues of customer service that were being emphasized in it. And I think the most important one is the last one, and I've seen this in a number of other situations of this kind of surveying beyond the Massachusetts example I'm using. 100% of the companies that were involved said it was worth their time, said it was valuable, said that they wanted to continue in this. And that's an awfully rare statement for any kind of an initiative. Dr. Holzer mentioned a public-private ventures study that was completed and released in the last year, and with support from several foundations, especially the Mott Foundation. And there have been a couple of other studies, but this is by far the most recent. I won't go through all of the detail. The core point of this study is that there's absolutely solid data on the worker side that says that wages advance for people who are, in this case, that we're studying initiatives for folks, people entering with relatively low educational attainment, low income, and their wages increase substantially. Their poverty level decreased. There were new jobs that came out of it. The training prepared them for the jobs and had them better in the marketplace. They were far better positioned than people who had not been involved in one of the sector initiatives going forward. Karen, in the introduction, rattled off several states that I've been part of teams working with, and I just put this into the presentation to note, there are a lot of states working on it. We have 25 that have participated in the project we're doing with the National Governors Association, and the number grows every year. There's probably others. And this list is up here just to give you a sense of the array and flavor, that they literally span political leadership of both parties, coast to coast, different economies, working in rural areas, working in the Midwest, working on the coast. That this is a strategy that's spreading almost virally around the country. It's now showing up in a lot of the congressional language for workforce reauthorization and legislation. It's the idea of organizing by sectors has been in the core of some of the grants that have come out of the Obama administration under the Recovery Act, where they're really targeting them around, tell us how you're working in basically the energy sector, alternative energy, new energy sector, how are you working in healthcare in particular. So the growth of it is phenomenal. There are lots and lots of other states, and let me do just a couple sentences of examples of this at play in states other than Wisconsin. Probably the benchmark for the most aggressive state in the country at using this is the state of Pennsylvania. The Commonwealth there has, under Governor Rendell, has made this a major organizing thrust of their workforce policy and strategy. He was able to win legislative approval for a significant general fund support for this initiative, which is unusual in most states. This is being funded mostly with federal funds. They've been able to retain that despite great budget travail and political calls on that money, because the companies that were involved actually actively lobbied their legislators to talk about the value of the investment. So it's been a very engaged piece for the companies involved. What they have is a structure where they run these industry partnerships. They did labor market research at the statewide level to really give communities really good information about what industries were growing, not growing, what the trends were, what the options were. They set high standards and expectations for what would go on with these, and then asked people to make applications. The local workforce boards were the applying agent, but they were on behalf of industry partnerships. It could be labor groups involved if it's an organized industry, trade associations, colleges, others. And so they asked for these to be partnerships, literally turning in these proposals with a clear manager of them and a focus on what they're going to get done. They have 70 to 100 of these in any year, depending on exactly the funding level that year and what's going on. They've been widely seen as a major building block of the state's economy as in a core economic development strategy. And so as they do other initiatives, they now hang them off of, okay, we now have this network of industry partnerships around the state. How do we work with them on related issues and use that as a source of intelligence within the industry? Michigan was one of the early states to adopt this model when Governor Granholm came into office. And it was the Michigan model is now second generation. They're now calling them Michigan Skills Alliances. The one distinction I'd make of the Michigan example is that as Michigan worked with this model, and they found that the 30 plus they've started over time have all but one or two are basically very alive and well, and new ones growing, is that they have found that the idea that in many states, these start out in sort of very traditional sectors that are in change. So healthcare industry has been very excited to work with this because they face ongoing recurring issues about employment and lots of churn and change and challenging getting people to the right levels. Manufacturing and construction have also been big. Michigan has moved into the experimentation for how do you use this approach in an emerging industry. So there is work building on some of the examples that Dan Cammon was talking about using these in the clean energy sector. So there are initiatives currently underway where they're working in industries that haven't even fully formed yet, where they're working with companies that are involved, people that are at startup levels, and bringing them together for their first conversations about human capital sides of it. In parallel to and at the same time, they're working out the finance, they're working out the manufacturing. So they think about the people side from the front end, and also by that force, having the colleges, having the schools, having the state policymakers in the same conversation with those people during the growth of that. Not believing it's going to always result in immediate short-term training, but believing that it will allow the state to be and the local groups that are involved to be really smart about how to help grow and nurture that industry. State of Washington was one of the very first states to try this model. Theirs is called Industry Skill Panels, and they represent really effective local partnerships where, and one of the things I'd say about Washington is that Washington also has in their technical and community college system a Centers of Excellence model that's a really strong one, where there'll be Centers of Excellence around specific industries. So what they've begun to do is converge those two ideas so that the colleges bring Centers of Excellence together with partnerships that groups are organizing around specific industries, and so they've really looked to integrate their strategies. Nearby, one of the groups that we've seen grow in the last few years substantially is Minnesota, and its current administration has let out a number of pilot grants. They've helped build off of what they had found they had, and I think there's some parallels in Wisconsin, was a whole base of local experimentation that's going on. When they started their state initiative, they canvassed the state and found they had about 25 of these kind of projects going on that groups had put together in fits and starts in different places around the state. So what they really did was build a map to organize all of that so people could see how they were all in the same conversation and help each other going forward. These take lots and lots of forms. I'll just put up one example that relates to the previous presentation. In the state of Washington, one of the really interesting ones that they tried out at every conference they do is in the power generation arena. And the utilities are at the core of this, but working in partnerships with like everybody in sight, and really looking at what are the skill standards and skill needs in the energy production industry, looking at holistically, including current technologies and including technologies they're anticipating going on to, and treating it as one equation and not what's different about wind or solar than there is about hydro turbines. What is, and really looking at how this all comes together, building it into a cohesive overall flow. And they've done a really good job of pulling those pieces together. Quickly about your own state in Wisconsin, and there's several people in the room who are doing incredible work on this. I just want to note it. First of all, WRTP was one of the absolute initial landmark experiments in creating the idea that this was possible. And they did some amazing things and continue to do some amazing things. Beyond that, there are the initiative that was mentioned earlier that we've been partnered on with the National Governors Association really led to Wisconsin applying to be part of it. Secretary Gaspin was the lead on that with the governor's office and a number of agencies. Brought an impressive team together across a number of agencies, the tech colleges, the Commerce Department, others very deeply involved. Been doing several things to bring a lot of strategies together through the sector approach. There have been demonstration grants put out to some partnerships to get going. There's a range of industry span. There's some really innovative things that are going on and building out from this, using the Policy Academy as one of the tools to leverage that. The term tipping point was used in one way in the last conversation. I want to name it here also. Sector strategies are at a tipping point as a policy idea that when we started the project, our sense was this idea had the research showed it was a powerful idea, that there was a potential for it to become a legitimate tool in state policy that was frankly not very politically controversial, could be leveraged with relatively modest amounts of money, and by aligning existing resources with people finding common ground in it, and that it could become a part of the base. We're at a point where we think that tipping point's being hit, and that this is becoming a mainstream applied piece of public policy in the country. I've talked about these in general. We've got a graphic in the packet. I mean, the core idea is when you put one of these together, the buzzword, and every industry has buzzwords, the buzzword is a workforce intermediary. That means some organization, some person manages this and coordinates it, who's trusted by the industry, who's trusted by the educators, who can hold the right conversation and bring it together. then a range of services that get defined, training services and other kinds of support get brought by any range of partner organizations. There's a design development phase and an operations phase. They take on lots of issues. The biggest ones are specific training needs, but they can go to hiring challenges that lead to why are you having, you know, shortages or turnover, retention, incumbent worker development, pipeline questions, lots of issues. One of the fun things about sector strategies is when you ask who's involved in them, my comment back would tell me who isn't. That I can find you somewhere in the country, any kind of an organization you can imagine that's involved in one of these, whether it's a trade association, whether it's a labor organization, a community organization, any kind of school or college system, any kind of state workforce agency and local one, the social service agencies, local government. And this is a idea that those who find this to be of common importance can come together and you really can align a lot of resources. There's a clear what's in it for me, for the parties that are involved in this. For employers, it shares costs. In the cases where employers are putting money into the actual training and steering their training money through it, it gives them a way to do that commonly and share the overhead of it and amortize that better. It gives them a simple, single place to work with all the public entities. Many times in that kind of development, employers complain widely that they have, they try to figure out the maze of what's there. Well, this is a way to talk about the issues consistently, and you've got folk in one place. They also find it's a chance to have conversations and think about a set of issues with their peers that don't typically come up at most trade association meetings. For educators, it's a really real-time information about what's going on in the industry that I think we hear regularly is more robust than you get out of classic advisory committees, because you're dealing with the real application of it, of what's going on in industries that are moving on and change, and that's really playing out in strategies for how curriculum is arranged, how career pathways strategies are used by post-secondary institutions. For workforce developers, it's a real issue of strategic focus. You get high leverage, you can connect the dots with lots of pieces. And for the economic developers who often talk in cluster terms about how to bring centers of gravity together, this is one of those vehicles where you can say, okay, here's an organized way to approach a community of development issue. I just want to note that we have gone in the way we've thought about all of this from sort of one thing at a time in sort of a linear way. Off-the-shelf stuff, sell a specific kind of customized training to a range of companies, to a much more sophisticated piece where you have needs assessment and partnership and real ongoing engagement and ownership. This allows high customization of the solutions that go on and continual adaptation of it. So it moves us from a very sort of static off-the-shelf model to one where you're able to do very real-time, what's really going on here, what do you need, and how do we figure out how best to do that. So for state policy, very quickly, just so the big findings, there's detail in the slides. These help regional strategies and strengthening of regions as they're going together. Labor markets tend to be the basis for how economies work, and this is a strategy that really supplements how to do that well and supports it. It allows aligning a lot of different funding sources towards things. There are dozens of different funding sources that have been applied to sector initiatives. It gives you the ability to use data to do this, drive what you're doing. It's a resource alignment strategy, as I noted. You can talk about issues in a unified way. You can be very clear about here's what we're trying to do in a given industry and a given set of needs in that industry. It's something the legislatures can frankly understand, unlike a lot of the public programs in workforce development. So we've got more detail. What I know from this side is, beyond the evaluation of specific programs that Dr. Holzer referenced, there's a move afoot to try and figure out how do you evaluate these kind of system changes and these ongoing partnerships in a way going on. So the project that Wisconsin is part of that we were doing with NGA has been working on an evaluation framework to sort of how do you really measure not only the impact for workers and employers, but the impact on the industry, the impact on the systems change that's going on, and how that works. So the last thing I would leave with is just a website for more information on this. Our partnership created with the help of the states involved, www.sectorstrategies.org. It's an ongoing resource that's specifically about state policies and strategies on this, including tutorials on it for anybody that wants to go that deep. So we appreciate the time and attention.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Questions for Mr. Good? Let's see.
Maybe none.
Questions? Mr. Good?
Back there.
Oh, yes. There we go.
Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of the public workforce system transitioning from traditional model? I mean, you talk about the employers, you talk about educational institutions.
That's a good question. The silos that Harry Holzer referred to have been long and real in terms of sort of what agency does what, and the issue, and many efforts of collaboration have been tried over 30 or 40 years. I think what the sector strategies represent is a really strong example of a move that you see in every piece of federal encouragement right now, and a lot of practice around the country, where the organizations are being said that no one can do this work alone any longer. That the trend is really about how do you bring alliances and partnerships together on the public side to do things, and to be very serious and intentional about that as an ongoing strategy going on. That in the state policy work on this, for example, there really was, public instruction and the economic developers, workforce, the colleges, all talking about what are we each trying to accomplish, how are we trying to bring those together. Sector strategies are an on-the-ground version of that, where you can use the industry need as a hub, but that for it to work, you really need authentic partnerships going on to do this work. And I think your question is on point, because I think that's a norm in workforce development now, is that this is about alliances to do things, not about which agency has the authority or the clout.
Another question for Mr. Good? Okay, I think we'll also have questions.
One right in front.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Hilgenberg.
Thank you. As far as setting up these partnerships, it would seem as though the benefits to say the industry would be obvious, but are there places where you have to add extra incentive?
That's a good question. And it really varies by industry and by community on that. So in healthcare, it's been relatively easy for people to set them up, because the major healthcare provider organizations are very worried about certain aspects of their talent stuff, and they have major issues they're looking for help in solving. When you get into, say, manufacturing, often it's been harder because of the fragmentation and change going on, so it really varies. So in some cases, the incentive is usually framed in terms of, if you come together in this, we can assemble money that can help pay for the training that you may need, and we'll organize it in a way where your time is used efficiently to help do it. But it's a lot of, frankly, part of the front end work in these is often a sales campaign to get people to be at the table. One of the reasons I mentioned the idea of somebody being a good manager of it that will be trusted is that in the first several months of these, often it's simply the partnership getting to know each other and say, why are we in this room together exactly, and what are we trying to do? And getting companies to see why it's worth their time to be there. After they've gotten into the transactions, they get it and tend to stay longer term. But you're absolutely right, Representative. And this is often, the idea of working together is sometimes a foreign concept for everybody involved, including the companies haven't had a reason to do it. And there absolutely sometimes has to be a sales effort to bring it together.
Thank